We're happy to make podcasts available for selected EdWebinars for your listening pleasure. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Redefining Professional Development Strategies that Amplify Math and Literacy Achievement. We are super duper excited to dive into this discussion with you today and to be thought partners in really planning and the execution of high quality professional development. Again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedules. Today, Ambrosia, Lydia, and I are here to really engage in a candid conversation about redefining professional development. Throughout this session, we'll explore what effective PD looks and sounds like in today's rapidly evolving educational landscape. We want to begin by quickly introducing ourselves, and then we'll dive right back in. My name is Purnima Chopra Vora. I'm the Director of Programs here at Lavinia Group. My educational journey began as an elementary school teacher and literacy coach in both New York City and New Jersey public schools. Prior to joining Lavinia Group, I was an instructional coach and thought partner for hundreds of schools across the country. I've been deeply involved in literacy development, running week-long reading and writing PD nationwide. And now I have the opportunity to oversee Lavinia Group's efforts to bolster math and literacy achievement through our professional learning programs. I'm excited to be here with you all today, and I'll pass it along to you, Ambrosia.
Thank you, Purnima. Hello, everyone. Super excited to be with you all today. My name is Ambrosia Johnson. I am an instructional consultant and institute lead here at the Lavinia Group. I've worn many, many hats in education over the last decade. I started out as an elementary school teacher in Newark, New Jersey. I was then an instructional coach. I was an adjunct professor at the same time at Relay Graduate School of Education. After that, I joined the Building Excellence Schools Fellowship and had the great honor and privilege of founding a school in the neighborhood that I grew up in Brooklyn, New York. After leaving that school, I've now had the pleasure of joining the team here at the Lavinia Group, where I work with different teachers and leaders across the country to help them prioritize joy and rigor in their school buildings to achieve the academic results that they have set forth. I'm super excited to be with you all today. And Lydia, I'm passing it over to you.
Amazing. Thank you so much, Ambrosia. Hello, all. My name is Lydia Cuomo. I am an instructional consultant as well as professional development lead here at Lavinia Group. And like Ambrosia, my journey in education, I've worn many different hats and it spans a lot of different roles. I started teaching elementary school, eventually found my way teaching middle school, which is probably near and dear to my heart, served as an instructional coach, a school leader, and then a district level leader, and then moved down to North Carolina to help found a school here and founded and absolutely love it. I'm super excited to be joining you all today and really excited to have this conversation as we dive into the work. Pass it back to you, Purnima.
Great. Thanks, Lydia. I think it is super important to begin our time together first by really setting a visual of what traditional PD looks like and what high impact professional development looks like. So if I had to set an image for you of traditional PD, I want you to imagine sitting in a room, possibly in rows with the speaker up front, presenting a one size fits all type of session, possibly with little or no room for engagement or conversation. And there isn't really a lot of time to process the learning and think about how to apply it in your own school buildings or in your own classroom. If you've got that image, I want to shift gears. Now, I want you to imagine high impact professional development. You've brought your own school data, your own school student work to use during the session. There are lots of breakouts and there has been planning time carved into the schedule by the facilitator so that you can really practice as the facilitator leans in and coaches within the moment feedback. There might be stories that are being shared and a community is being built as leaders and educators from around the world really discuss what works and does not work in their buildings. You've got that image. I'm sure most of you would nod your heads and really prefer high impact professional development for yourselves and for your teachers. I know I would. So if we, you know, we've thought about these images, I want to talk about what are really the differences between traditional professional development and high impact professional development. Traditional PD often treats teachers as passive recipients of information, which can really limit engagement and even understanding of the content that's being presented. In contrast, high impact PD encourages active participation and lots of engagement from teachers and leaders, making the learning process more dynamic and definitely more effective.
Pranima, I couldn't agree with you more with everything that you just said. So traditional PD, it's typically scheduled periodically. Maybe it's a full day or half of a work day when students are not in school. And actually, that time might not always be convenient for teachers. Whereas high impact PD, it tends to be more flexible. It's integrated within the school schedule, and it's responsive to teachers' time constraints and just makes it more accessible. The content in traditional PD, it often covers a broad range of topics, which might not be immediately relevant to all teachers. However, high impact PD is intentionally tailored to specific and relevant issues, making the content more applicable and immediately useful in the classroom.
Yeah, Ambrosia, that makes me think of another significant drawback from this traditional PD method. And I think it's really important to name the lack of ongoing support from instructional experts. And that can really hinder the application of new knowledge. With high impact PD, on the other hand, this is going to offer continuous expert support, which will help teachers implement all of these new strategies, implement them effectively. It helps them adapt to challenges as they may arise. And traditional PD, like we mentioned, is often kind of generic, right? It's not necessarily customized or aligned with the individual needs of a school. High impact PD is really going to be customized to address a specific problem of practice, and that's really going to enhance its effectiveness and its relevance for that school.
Okay, let's keep talking about a couple of the differences between the two. So research really shows that there's usually no measurement of how traditional PD impacts student learning, which can really make it difficult to justify the time and the resources that have been spent. In contrast, high impact PD regularly assesses its impact on student outcomes, providing really clear evidence of its value and also guiding what the further improvements should be.
Mm-hmm. Traditional PD often lacks opportunities for teachers to actually sit and reflect on their practice, and that is an essential part of professional growth. High impact PD, though, it provides spaces for reflection. It allows teachers to contemplate their practices, to discuss with peers, and to make really intentional and thoughtful changes as a result of that reflection.
And that, you know, typical PD is typically lecture-based, right? So there's really little interaction between the speaker and the teachers, and that can disengage teachers, and I'm sure we've all been there. Mm-hmm. High-impact PD, on the other hand, that's really going to encourage really in-depth discourse among teachers. And that's not only going to make the sessions more interactive, but it will really enhance the learning experience.
As we move forward in today's webinar, I really urge us all to think about how you can implement aspects of high impact PD in your own context to ensure that professional development is just not an activity that teachers complete, but rather a truly valuable part of their professional growth.
All right, so I'm going to talk a little bit about some research. And there is substantial evidence supporting the effectiveness of high-impact PD in improving both teacher performance and student achievement. And that's what our main goal is, right? And so there's this recent study that showed student achievement can improve significantly when teachers receive professional development that is focused on improving specifically their content knowledge and their teaching skills. And that's really the goal here, right? Pass it back.
Let's talk a little bit about engagement. Sustained engagement is crucial for the success of these programs. Ambrosia, can you share why?
Of course. So when we consider what the research tells us, right, we find that effective PD is not just about the total hours spent, but also the span of time spent. Continuous learning allows for in-depth discussions. It allows for practice. It allows for a ton of in-the-moment coaching and feedback. And all of those aspects are essential for meaningful professional growth.
Okay. So, Ambrosia, here's what I hear you saying. Are you saying that sustained PD spanning weeks or months ensures that teachers not only learn new strategies and concepts, but they also have adequate time to implement these in their teaching practice? And they get to reflect on these experiences, and they get to receive ongoing support and feedback.
Okay. I know it sounds like a lot, but yes, that is exactly what I'm saying. All of those components are present, and that's what makes it impactful.
Excellent. Okay, Lydia, then what would you say are some of the benefits of investing in a program like this?
That's such a great question. So Honeshek's research, and we've got some of that research on the screen from 2011, provides really compelling evidence that these comprehensive teacher professional development programs can actually lead to a 21% increase in student performance over 3 years. And that's significant growth over 3 years. And this improvement not is only boosting student learning, but it's offering a high return on investment because it's reducing these long-term costs, right? By investing in professional development, we are increasing the educational outcomes for students. That is the goal. That is why we are all here. And that is why we do the work we do.
Okay, that data is mind-blowing.
Totally.
Ambrosia, let's think about, given all of these benefits, right? We're hearing them from Lydia. Can you share how would this actually translate into practical outcomes, right? Maybe there are some recent studies or implementation that's happened across schools that can really show what does this look like in real life?
I would love to share, actually very eager to share. I love results. So over the last 2 years, right, the data that we've gathered has been nothing short of remarkable. And I really mean that when I say it, okay? So in one of our recent studies, we examined a focus group of schools that rolled out professional development programs on a school-wide basis based on the characteristics of high impact PD that we're actually going to talk about today. Now, the schools that we supported in the implementation of high impact PD experienced considerable growth compared to the schools that did not. Now, I want us to look and analyze the ILEARN proficiency growth of these schools and comparing them with the broader spectrum of schools in Indianapolis. When we did that, we observed a striking improvement. So from 2022 to 2023, schools within the focus group experienced a 29% point surge in ELA proficiency, 29%. And that was far outpacing the 8% increase seen in the state's comparative ILEARN score. So those were the ones that did not include those aspects of high impact PD. Now let's talk about math. So in math proficiency, these schools saw a staggering 46% increase, dramatically higher than the 4% rise reported in the statewide ILEARN assessment data for 2023. So I think you can see why I was very eager to share those results.
Yeah, incredible. Because those results are transformative, especially when we're really considering the actual number of students who advance towards proficiency. Okay, Lydia, we have a whole different set of data here on the screen. Can you talk just a little bit about the data on this slide?
Absolutely. So we're right now going to discuss a really powerful instance of how combining professional development with high quality learning can significantly impact educational outcomes. And this specific data that we're looking at is from New York school systems. And we're actually going to be looking, which I know we're deep in this COVID reversal, and we've all been doing this work for years and we're still in it. So if we look on the screen, and I'll talk through it for those of you listening, in this New York school system, we observed not just a reversal of the learning loss from COVID-19, but they actually had a substantial rise in proficiency beyond pre-COVID levels. And specifically, this achievement, we manifested as an 18 percentage point increase in ELA and a 13 percentage increase in math proficiency.
Okay. These improvements in both of the data that you both shared are really inspiring. Ambrosia, for schools, for leaders, literacy coaches, teachers that are listening in right now, and they are motivated by these results and are possibly considering improving their professional development programs, what would you suggest as the best starting point?
Thank you for that question. I appreciate it because I remember being a principal and looking at data that looks just like this. And there were times when I knew where I wanted my school to be, right? But I didn't know how to get there. Mm-hmm. And if that's you and you are inspired by these results and you want to see results that look like this in your building or in your network, I'd love to share some tips on what you might do to revamp your PD framework. These tips are proven. They worked for me and they've worked for a lot of other people. So the first thing that you want to do is you want to assess your current PD practices comprehensively. We'll talk a lot today about what these best practices are. Compare. Are you doing these things? Are you not? Where are places that you can shift? The second thing that you want to do is you want to ensure that you create strategic goals that focus on A, enhancing the skills of the educators in your building. That's the first thing that you want to do. And B, ensuring that your teachers are set up for the most success when it comes to intellectually preparing and delivering the content in ways that are both engaging and rigorous. After you've done that work, the last thing that you want to do is you want to ensure that you choose a professional development program that incorporates planning, that incorporates practice, and that also incorporates targeted coaching, because you'll need all three of those in order for you to actually garner those results. So understanding what teachers value in professional development programs is crucial to designing effective PD. Research shows that nearly 71% of teachers look for professional development opportunities in content knowledge and best practices for implementing the content in their classrooms. Now, research also states that over 60% of teachers find professional development more valuable when it is collaborative and it builds a learning community.
Convenience and accessibility are also major factors that influence participation rates. Surveys have shown that up to 78% of teachers are more likely to engage in professional development that really offers flexible timing and is accessible remotely. This flexibility not only accommodates their schedules, but it also helps to broaden the reach of our PD programs, which helps to make everything way more inclusive. And while flexibility is key, the collaborative nature of PD is equally important to all educators.
I would love to just add in one thing, Pranima. And in addition to the collaboration, feedback is a really pivotal component of successful PD. And feedback mechanisms are really critical. And with about 85% of teachers wanting PD that includes formative assessments and feedback on their actual teaching practice. So effective PD often includes self-assessments, maybe it's peer observations, and opportunities for in-the-moment feedback.
Okay, we've said a lot. I know everybody's listening in. You're hearing all this data, all these percentages. I want to try this to try to summarize what we've said so far. What all this means is that success of professional development programs heavily relies on their relevance to teacher needs, including practical timing, collaborative opportunities, and robust feedback with opportunities to practice. By aligning PD offerings with these preferences, we can truly maximize both teacher satisfaction and, just as importantly, the impact on student performance.
Yes, I think that was very well said.
Okay, then we can keep going on.
Okay.
Hi, so we're all on the same page. Let's shift a little bit now. Let's spend a few minutes discussing how leaders, because there are many instructional coaches, leaders on this call, how you can plan for executing high impact PD in your building. So let's talk about what that looks like. So the initial stage involves using data to assess the current skills of teachers, identifying areas where they may lack knowledge or where they may lack confidence. Now, this is crucial for tailoring PD efforts to the actual needs rather than just generic solutions. Data types can include teacher surveys and feedback, right? Where leaders gather insights directly from educators about their experience, right? And their self-perceived areas of growth. Student performance data is another really powerful tool in this stage of planning. Analyze outcomes to pinpoint subject areas or skills where you're noticing that student achievement indicates teaching gaps. You want to look to see where your students are struggling because that can be a key indicator for where your teachers need more support. Now, while this stage, what we're talking about right now, it also includes classroom observations to provide objective data on teacher practices. This should not distract from providing real-time coaching and feedback. So yes, you're providing feedback in the moment, but you also want to make sure that there's formal time to do so as well.
Amazing. So once you have a really clear understanding of the needs of your school, of your district, of your teachers, your professional development content can really be customized to address those specific needs. You can align it really closely with specific curriculum and specific teaching standards to ensure that it's really relevant and applicable to your school. And I noticed a question in the chat about grade bands, and this might be another time where you even have professional development targeted for different and specific grade bands. We would recommend utilizing a lot of data. You might use some of your standardized testing data. A lot of schools use maybe MAP or iLearn just to get some baselines and then use something throughout the year so you continuously can measure progress throughout the year. Pranima, anything I'm missing you want to add on there?
The only thing I'll add is often we get our PD plan in action and then we think it's going great. And one of the things we need to remember, which is so important, is to continuously monitor its effectiveness in real time so that we really allow for any adjustments we need to make. And we ensure that the content continues to remain relevant for our teachers, impactful for our buildings, and for our students. So this might look like collecting real-time feedback from immediate responses from participants during PD to really gauge for is the PD engaging? Is the content being delivered coherent and makes sense for our goals as a building or as a district?
And when evaluating impact, right, the ultimate goal of PD is to improve teaching effectiveness, which should be evident in teacher performance, and it should be evident in student learning outcomes. So leaders can use student outcomes as a tool, right, to determine whether the PD that teachers are receiving is impactful.
Exactly. So important, Ambrosia. And PD should also be a cyclical process, right? So each iteration is going to be informed by the one that came before that. So you're aiming to scale your successes and adapt based on feedback, like Pranima just mentioned. You want to maintain like an ongoing feedback loop with participants for real continual refinement of the PD program. And I know I keep doing a motion of circular, but that's really what we think of when we think of this program and how what this process looks like.
Yes. So let's take a moment to reflect on the importance of data in shaping professional development. And we are just interested in hearing about your practices so we can continue to tailor our session to meet the needs of what it is that you are experiencing in your buildings. So we have a poll question that will appear in just a minute. And the question that we want you to answer is, does data play a part in your selection of professional development and professional learning opportunities for educators when planning school year PD opportunities? So in one moment, the poll will appear on your screen. And as you're looking through, the question is up there on the top, where do you fall? Are you falling at number one, where it's like, yes, we always analyze our data. We decide on PD opportunities based on the analysis of our data. Or you're like, somewhat, we kind of do it sometimes. Or are you like, oh, we do not. We have not gotten there yet. Or are you at a place where you're struggling, where you're like, every time there's PD, I have to think on the fly about what it is that we're focusing on? Or are you really not sure? I see a lot of responses are coming in now. We have about 35% of people saying, yes, we always analyze our data. We decide on PD based on that data. We're at about 33%. It's looking like the largest percent of us are somewhat using data to identify our PD plan. Okay, so I'm happy to see that there is a pretty much a high volume of schools that offer school-wide PD or professional learning. And it looks like in some way or another, you are leveraging data to inform your PD or those choices. I'll throw it back to you, Pranima.
So drawing from our research, it's clear that neither professional learning nor coaching is enough. What's required is a real deliberate professional development cycle that begins with professional learning, advances through data analysis and student work study, and then moves into intellectual preparation and culminates in teacher-targeted coaching. This cyclical process ensures continuous improvement and really leads to significant impacts on student learning outcomes. The diagram we have here visually represents this intentional cycle. Is this where your circle was coming from?
Exactly. This is exactly what I'm thinking. It's the visual for it.
We are highlighting how all of this connects. Each component is truly fostering effective professional development. The four components of a high-impact professional development program are professional learning, data analysis and work study, intellectual preparation, and targeted coaching. Let's take a moment to discuss each of these in depth.
Okay, so let's begin. If you're looking at the screen, professional learning is highlighted in yellow. We are starting that cyclical process now, and I guarantee all of us will be making this circle. So let's begin with professional learning. Let's talk about what it is, and let's really dig deep into what it entails. So high-quality professional learning includes research-based methods that participants can immediately implement in their classrooms. High-quality professional learning, it provides powerful and concrete instructional strategies. This means that when participants come to this session, right, they should be able to learn, they should be able to practice in the session, and then immediately implement those strategies the second that they return back into their classrooms. So during each session, facilitators should model new skills, right? They should continuously use data to plan for instruction, provide in-the-moment coaching and feedback, and share ready-to-use resources. So your goal is that every single participant who leaves this session, that they walk away knowing the what, knowing the how, and knowing the why. And they should have resources to support them in immediately implementing the content that they just learned.
Well said.
Okay, so we've discussed the professional learning. And so now we're going to dive into the data analysis and work study. And so again, for those of you listening, it's highlighted in yellow. For the rest of you, you can see that on your screen. So these are two really integral components of the high-impact PD framework that we're exploring today. These elements are crucial for quickly identifying and addressing the learning gaps. Prenima, you want to add on a little bit?
Yeah, and we were talking about traditional assessments earlier. So I will add that our data resources, our data sources as educators is not just limited to traditional assessments, right? They extend to include classroom observations. Those are so, so important, which offer real-time insights into student interactions and engagement levels. They also include portfolio reviews, right? Which give a holistic view of a student's progress over time, and also direct analyses of student work, which reveal students' thought processes and also misconceptions or misunderstandings students might have. Each of these data points contributes to a comprehensive understanding of student learning and really are critical for informed instructional decision-making.
I completely agree, Pranima. And again, all of the things that we're naming, right, we're touching on skills that most often have to be developed and practiced, right? So we can't expect for our teachers to just come into the building and just know how to do those things. It's our responsibility as coaches, as leaders, to guide them through these processes so that they can learn how to actually do the things that you just named.
Mm-hmm. Right. And I just want to mention that student work in particular is incredibly telling, and it helps us assess what students understand, but it can also illuminate strategies they use to solve problems or the thinking that they were doing as they wrote something down. And this kind of analysis is really invaluable because it allows us to identify not just what they know, but it helps us bridge the gap between the teaching and the learning effectively. Mm-hmm.
And yes, dedicating time, we are dedicating time when we're looking at student work. But by dedicating this time to analyzing student work, noting students' strengths, noting where their misconceptions lie, we're ultimately truly identifying the patterns that are present. And that is how we can empower teachers to make informed decisions that can eventually dramatically improve student learning outcomes.
Exactly. And another phrase that we can hit, you know, you may hear a lot is student work serves as both a window and as a mirror. As a window, it offers you really clear insight into a student's thought process and their understanding. Simultaneously, it can serve as a mirror, and it reflects the effectiveness of our teaching, of our practices, of our methodologies. And this dual perspective not only helps us gauge student comprehension, but can really help us assess our own instructional strategies and practices.
I couldn't agree more, Lydia. You know, I think it's important to point out that research tells us that teachers need the support of a coach to walk them through all of the steps to implement high impact intellectual preparation. And in order to do that, that includes data analysis and work study. So leaders, you have to create a culture around intellectual preparation and data analysis and work study. It can't just be an expectation for teachers to do it without them being taught how to do it effectively.
I know that some of you might be thinking, if I'm a leader, how am I going to use student work analyses in order to develop high impact PD? Ambrosia, I know you were a principal. What did this look like in your school?
Yeah, so let's talk about that a little bit. So as a founding principal, I regularly studied student work to see how students across the school were performing against our goals. Here's an example of student work that I might have seen if we were studying student performance in response to literature. So a beginning of year goal for my school was that 75% of students would be able to accurately make inferences about a character's personality traits and use appropriate text evidence to support those inferences. Now, there was a time that I gathered student work and I noticed that 70% of work looks like what you see on the screen right now. Now, I was happy, right? Because students were making accurate inferences, as you can see here. So the question says, how would you describe Langston's character traits? How does understanding Langston's thoughts, actions, and feelings help you understand his traits? And this student just said, I would describe Langston as helpful and
Interesting.
Yes, baby. Interesting, right? So I'm happy because there's an accurate inference there, right? However, I noticed the push. Students were struggling to cite appropriate text evidence to support that thinking. This was a trend, right? Because 70% of students were doing just this. So this trend impacted the topic of my Friday PD with my team because I knew exactly what it was that I needed to target in order for us to reach those goals. So your role as a leader must include student work analysis. All leaders who are creating professional development must have a very clear understanding of the strengths and the areas of opportunity for students across the school building.
All right. So as Ambrosia and Pranima previously outlined, effective data analysis and student work study are pivotal in laying the groundwork for what we really refer to as high-quality intellectual preparation. A lot of times you might hear us say IP. Intellectual preparation transcends mere lesson planning. It's not just having your lesson planning, and it's more than internalization. It involves tailored strategies that are going to accelerate learning for the students in front of you, facilitating the differentiation of instruction so you can meet your diverse learners, and really practicing and tailoring that for the lesson. Pranima?
Yes. Intellectual preparation within the framework we're discussing right now truly equips teachers not only to identify and bridge students' conceptual gaps, but also to handle misconceptions in real time. Right? They prepare for these misconceptions during IP. This preparation provides teachers with strategies and the confidence, which is so important, that they need to address these challenges effectively.
And that's crucial, Pranima, right? Being a subject matter expert is important, but understanding how you convey that knowledge effectively is just as critical. I mean, all too often, intellectual preparation, it's either underestimated, right, or it's overlooked. So moreover, teachers frequently lack the proper coaching on how to extend beyond basic lesson planning and into the deeper, more impactful instructional strategies. And that is what will be the kicker when they get in front of their students. So it's about enhancing our teaching craft to not only deliver the content, but to inspire and to engage students at every level without ever compromising the rigor, right, of the content.
Well said.
Okay. Schools that are facing stagnant test scores or declining student achievement would strongly benefit from targeted coaching, which is highlighted in yellow on the screen for you here. They would benefit from targeted coaching, often under the guidance of someone well-versed in boosting rigorous literacy and math instruction, right? So many school leaders might be wondering, how can I afford this? And with ESSER funds still currently available, many schools right now have the opportunity to form partnerships that were previously out of reach due to budget constraints.
Mm-hmm. And I would add that the structure, performance, and specific needs of your school should guide whether you choose to enhance the skills of internal instructional coaches through professional development opportunities, right, that can be turned into effective coaching practices, or to introduce an external instructional coach with experience. So you have to choose based on where your school is, where your leaders are. Now, if you chose the second option of hiring an external instructional coach, this external coach can serve a dual role, offering direct coaching to teachers, but also serving as a model for internal coaches to learn from.
And I would say again, the goal is that you are establishing a sustainable framework where your internal coaches continually develop and apply the strategies that they're being introduced by those external experts. Is that what you, would you agree, Ambrosia?
No, I'd agree. So this approach ensures that achievement gains are not just temporary spikes, but mark the beginning of a lasting improvement in teaching quality and student outcomes in your building. So if you do hire an external coach, you want to make sure that this individual is increasing the intellectual capacity of the leaders in your building. After all, an external coach is going to leave at the end of the school day, right? They're not going to be there every single day. Mm-hmm. You want to ensure that the intellectual knowledge is poured into your leaders in your building so that they are taking that knowledge, right? They are learning, they are turnkeying it, and they are implementing it when the external coach is not present.
Instructional coaching is a dynamic and an integral part of teacher development. It encompasses three critical stages: targeted coaching before the lesson, targeted coaching during the lesson, and targeted coaching after the lesson. We are going to talk about these very quickly because we're seeing the time and we want to make sure we get to everything.
All right, so let's talk a little bit about targeted coaching before the lesson because it can take a variety of forms. So during this time, it's a best practice for coaches to build onto the intellectual preparation that we talked about previously that was already done with teachers. So after intellectual preparation, you feel confident, right, that your teacher is intellectually prepared for the lesson. You want to think to yourself, what aspects of the lesson would be most beneficial for the teacher to practice with you before they get in front of students? Maybe you want to practice the launch, right, so that they can master the beginning portion of the lesson. Or maybe you're spending a great deal of time working on student prompting, so you choose to practice that portion of the lesson. You want to ensure that before the lesson, you have a practice component. The practice component, I promise you, is critical for teacher coaching. You want to ensure that you're not just prioritizing intellectual preparation, but you're also prioritizing how are they going to execute this content. The next thing that I want to really highlight is the importance of modeling. As you work with your teacher, you might notice different areas of opportunities for their execution. One effective way to support your teachers is to get up and do a model yourself. Oftentimes, when leaders do models, there are three things that they typically forget that decreases the effectiveness of the model given. I want to just name three things that you should be mindful of whenever you do a model for your teachers or for your team. The first thing that you want to do is you want to focus the teacher's attention on specific look-fors. So for example, you might say, pay close attention to what I say to keep the heavy lifting on the student. The second thing that you want to do is you want to intentionally pause at key moments of your model and do a voiceover so that they don't miss key moments, right? That might sound like, did you notice how I just stopped and I said blank to put the heavy lifting on the student? And then the last thing that you want to do is you want to debrief the observation post-model. This is when you give the teacher an opportunity to review their notes, set some key commitments, and to make sure that they are prepared, thinking of a few things before they teach on their own. Keep in mind that a lot of our teachers are visual learners, right? And seeing you implement the strategies and the plans that you previously discussed will leave them with a crystal clear vision of what it is that they're aiming for. Purnima, can you give us your thoughts on what targeted coaching looks like during the lesson and what you found to be most impactful?
Yes, absolutely. So targeted coaching during the lesson is critical. And you see the different ways that we've listed I'm just going to name them quickly, but you can read exactly what they are. So one of the ways that you can really provide targeted coaching during the lesson is by whisper coaching. You can also co-teach with the teacher when you're in the room. You might stop as the teacher is teaching and say, hold on, let me model for you. Another thing we want to make sure that we're doing is showing the teacher how to problem solve in the moment when there are things happening or challenges that you're coming across, and provide in the moment feedback. And lastly, we want to prompt and we want to question. We want to really encourage the teacher to think critically and then be reflective with their questioning.
Thanks, Pranima. Lydia, tell us a little bit about targeted coaching after the lesson. What are your thoughts there?
All right, I'll go post-lesson. We just want to focus to a debrief or a reflection. And that's really going to begin the feedback phase for the teacher. And this is really when you might analyze the lesson, the student work, with your teachers and alongside leaders, so you can sort of review the lesson's impacts.
Mm-hmm. Great. We are going to jump in really quickly because we want to make sure you get a sneak peek of what high impact professional development looks and sounds like. Let me set the stage for you. This activity takes place during a Science of Reading professional learning session after we have just introduced the three components of fluency, which are accuracy, reading speed, and prosody. During this activity, we ask participants to consider which element of fluency the student is doing well and which they need more coaching for. So during this activity, Ambrosia will be the teacher and the facilitator of the session, and Lydia and I will be participants at the session. All right, Ambrosia, take it away.
Okay, guys, it has been so awesome being in this Science of Reading session with you all. You've done a great job diving into the three components of fluency, accuracy, reading speed, prosody. Here's what we're going to do so that we can test your knowledge a little bit. I am going to assume the role of a student, okay? I am going to be reading directly from the decodable text Laundry Day that you can see on the screen, which is a text within Lavinia Group's Red Thread Foundational Curriculum. As I read as the student, you are going to hear me make errors. I'm going to intentionally pause for you to write down the coaching prompts that you would use to support me as the student in the moment. Okay? After that, you're going to share your prompts. I'm going to share mine, and we're going to compare to go from good to great. Let's dive in. I am now a student. I am Max, Max, Dad and I chat. We will do laundry at a up. There is so laundry. We put it in a bag. Okay, hopping out of teacher, out of student mode, and I'm gonna pause right there. I know you were taking notes as I was reading. What would you coach this student on? My accuracy, my reading speed, or my prosody? What coaching prompts would you give? When sharing your response, I want you to walk us through your thinking as well. Who would like to start us off?
I will. I think this student sounds just like a student in my class, honestly, so close. Okay. And I've been coaching this student on their accuracy because I know that's what's going to help them speed up their reading.
Okay. Thank you so much for sharing, Lydia. Any other thoughts? What do we think about Lydia's ideas here?
Yeah, Lydia, I think it's funny that you say that. I'm sure many of us in this group have students that read very similarly as well. However, I don't think coaching her on accuracy would be the best here. She actually had 100% accuracy. She read all of those words accurately. Though accurate, she really read incredibly slow and so slowly. And so I think I would coach her on her reading speed, and that would really have a significant impact on her comprehension.
Thank you so much for adding that, Pranima. I actually agree with you. If I was coaching this student, I'm noticing that they're doing a great job using sound by sound knowledge of the word. They're also not just guessing based off of a letter. They're trying to really decode, which is great, and that should be celebrated. However, they are breaking the word apart, but not putting the sounds together or putting it together slowly. So a prompt that I might give this student, and you guys can both take it for the student that you claim that you said is struggling with this too, is you're doing a great job pausing at tricky words to stretch them out. Strong readers always blend the sounds together quickly and say the word quickly, and then they go back to reread the sentence from the beginning. I want to just name for everyone in the session that the prompt that I just gave is actually in our Science of Reading coaching guide. I did not make that up on the fly. I pulled it right out of the guide because it was linked to the error that was made. What we're going to do now is we're going to try another example, and I want you all to use your Science of Reading coaching guide, right? Identify the error in the far left-hand corner, and then I want you to choose the prompt that is best suited for that student. All right, let's cut scene, and we're hopping out of the fake professional development session. Lydia, I'm going to throw it back to you.
Awesome. I hope everyone enjoyed that sneak peek. But we, in that little scene, we were utilizing strategies from methods from the Science of Reading coaching guide. So if you want to download a free sample of that, those of you who are in, go ahead and scan that QR code. And we've also listed the URL so you can find it later on if you want. And that's just going to bring up that sample.
And I've always believed that, you know, people, not programs, move schools.
In the short amount of time that we were working with Lavinia, last year we were able to double our reading average on TCAP, which I'm very proud of. And we were also able to almost triple our math percentage on TCAP.
One semester, we saw at least double gains in reading and math. So we moved from, the state gives schools levels from level one to level five being the best in terms of growth, the number of students that we were able to grow and from year to year. And so we're now a level five school.
By the middle of the school year, we were sailing, and we saw the growth in our iReady assessments. We saw the growth in our case assessments. We saw kids working independently. We saw teachers making growth.
We're changing our overall instructional leadership model because of the kind of work that's happening with the Lavinia group. We gotta get more teachers better, faster.
We will 100% get back to everybody. We're taking account of all the questions. Anything that you have, please add them to the chat. We just want to give you a little bit. We've talked so much about how to build a high impact professional development program and bring that into your own schools and buildings. We want to talk a little bit about what we at Lavinia Group do and honestly do so well. One of the things that we offer and we begin with is instructional coaching. And so our high impact research-based coaching at Lavinia Group begins with understanding first the current state of the building, identifying what's working that can be amplified and what can be added or enhanced. From there, a plan is really developed using one or more of the supports we've listed here on this slide for you. And then Lydia, can you just share really quickly more about what makes our coaching so unique?
Of course, I would love to. So there's a few things. Our coaching is really tailored to meet the specific needs of a school we're working with. We have found it is not a one-size-fits-all situation. Coaching, definitely not. So we always begin by just meeting with leadership, looking at student data, and together diagnosing the needs of the school. We don't come in and say, this is what you need. It's a really collaborative approach. And then we can create really clear goals that will guide the work. And then when we're at schools, our coaching is definitely not just an observation and feedback cycle. We spend time doing in-depth intellectual preparation with teachers. We practice, we demo. We do a lot of model lessons or lab sites so teachers can actually see these skills we are talking about in real life before they practice them. And then we spend time looking at student work alongside leaders, alongside teachers, So we can really use this to collaboratively plan for next steps. And we have found that this approach really, really allows us to meet the needs of our partners and have a profound impact on student learning.
Absolutely. One of the offerings that we also have at Lavinia Group are our professional learning courses, which offer continuous learning around a key topic. Each course consists of four learning modules that build knowledge in a specific area. And schools, we definitely want to offer flexibility. As we said, that was one of the most essential and crucial parts of a strong PD plan. So schools can choose from an asynchronous or a blended learning module where Lavinia Group educational experts really support professional learning along the way. Another offering we have at Lavinia Group are, and I'm super excited about these, are educator and leader learning labs. And so our educator and leader learning labs are structured, they are virtual progressive learning programs, and participants meet weekly for 4 1-hour sessions. Again, really offering that flexibility of time and structure. We have educator labs, and we also have leader labs, which are specifically designed to develop leadership skills and qualities. And then lastly, another thing that we offer, again, we know flexibility is key. So another option that we offer are our workshop intensives. And these really provide professional development that's designed to transform instructional practices. These intensives are 4 to 6 hours in length and are highly, highly interactive and encourage participation through discussion and collaboration. Also, if you want to bring Lavinia Group to your school for a specialized on-site workshop intensive, we also offer that. That is tailored to meet the needs of your school community. All right, Ambrosia, will you take this one?
Yes. So let's talk a little bit about what's next. We have two minutes left here. Yes. So as a way to wrap up, I'm excited to extend a special offer exclusive to just the folks that are here, our webinar participants. So we've designed a free leader workshop intensive. And this intensive session is an opportunity to really dive deep into the core areas that boost student success and elevate instructional skills. We'll cover topics like cultivating critical thinking skills, amplifying the impact of instruction, data-driven decisions, all that good stuff. In addition to our free leader workshop, we're also offering an exclusive informational session. And this session is designed to just dive deeper into our comprehensive range of support. You're going to see two QR codes on your screen right now. Make sure that you snap them so that you have them and you can reach out to us about which one of those you'd be interested in attending. We have a quick poll for you in the last minute before we wrap up. We want to know what you want more information about. So there will be a poll that shows up on the screen, and we want to know what do you want more information about so that we can keep that in mind as we are continuing to develop these sessions and so that we can also reach back out to you to share more about our offerings here at the Lavinia Group. We love professional learning courses, I see. I see we love instructional coaching.
Yes.
Some people want to know about all of the offerings. We love it. We're recording all of that data as well so that we can get back in touch with all of you in regards to what it is that you need.
Yes, please come to the free leadership workshop intensive. Come to the informational session so that we can have a couple of more minutes and we can actually talk about it more in depth and in an intimate setting.
Great.
Thank you all. Thank you for sneaking in for an hour and spending this time with us.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this EdWeb podcast. If you'd like to receive a CE certificate, you must watch the video recording. Recordings and quizzes can be found in the EdWebinar archives. Please visit home.edweb.net/podcasts for more information.